The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Nerd Bliss. What is Nerd Bliss? Nerd Bliss is a pop culture podcast for passionate people. Join Chris, Tina, Eric, and Heath as they talk about popular movies, TV shows, and whatever's current in the news. And we might even have a few laughs along the way. Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com or esonetwork.com.
Welcome to the Con Guy Show, everybody. This is the official production of theconguy.com, your home for news and interviews from the world of Comic-Con and fandom all across that universe. And my name is Jim Fry. I'm one of your co-hosts tonight. We have a very cool, very special guest tonight. We'll introduce him in just one moment. But before we do, let's go around the room here and introduce who we have with us tonight, starting up here with Katie.
Hey, everyone. It is the sole representation for the Con Girls tonight, me, Katie. You know, if you guys follow all of our channels, you'll know me as one half of that. And excited to be back because I think it's been a couple weeks. So excited. Mm-hmm. It's always fun when we have Power Rangers panels. So excited. Yes.
Austin. And it's, I'm sorry. What'd you say, Luke?
I thought we were going clockwise. My bad.
Oh, go ahead, Luke. Go ahead.
Okay. What's up, everybody? I'm Cheeseman here, screenwriter and one of the founding members of theconguy.com.
Austin.
Hi, I'm Austin. I'm with the Con Kids. We haven't been doing a lot of stuff, but we'll hopefully be back on it.
The Con Kids is a very cool, very, very cool podcast. They review like most of the Marvel stuff, the Star Wars stuff. They're doing such a good job. And we are going to get them back. And I think this is the perfect opportunity for the Con Kids to be here because tonight we are excited. We are jumping back into one of our favorite fandoms on the show here, the Power Rangers. It is a franchise that this is going to be hard to believe, that started almost 30 years ago in 1993. Remarkably, it exploded into a worldwide phenomenon. And wow. And one of the most, and here's what's interesting. If you read the fan blogs and stuff, one of the most popular iterations of the Power Rangers of the modern era is the Power Rangers Beast Morphers. It's where a secret agency creates a new team of Power Rangers by combining a recently identified substance called Morph X with animal DNA. Soon the Rangers are tasked with defeating a computer virus from another dimension. And tonight we are so excited and so privileged to be speaking with our special guest, Jazz Badawalia. Can you make sure I'm saying your name correctly?
Jazz Badawalia.
Okay. Jazz, who plays the Blue Ranger, Ravi Shaw, in Beast Morphers. And it's kind of cool. He is the very first Indian actor to portray a ranger in the franchise. Jazz, we are excited to have you. Welcome to the show tonight, man.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. You know, I always have to have this with me when I do these.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, look at that.
360.
He's got his helmet with him.
How you guys excited to be here and answer any questions anyone has and just come on here and just talk to you guys?
Well, you're not as excited as we are because we've been trying to plan to get you on for a while now, so we're super stoked about it. But I do have to make one cool announcement for everybody who's watching. Jazz is part of a very cool appearance coming up, which is WonderCon, April 1 through 3 in Anaheim, California. WonderCon is coming up, and Jazz is going to be part of our special panel celebrating nearly 30 years of the Beast Morphers. I can't give you much more detail right now. I can tell you that Jazz will not be the only Beast Morpher on the panel with us. So we are going to be having a lot of fun, and there'll be different Power Rangers from across the years. And I just can't wait. And again, It's going to be on the weekend of April 1 through 3. Towards the end of the podcast today, Katie will jump in and give us a little bit of information about WonderCon coming up. But first, we want to jump right into talking Power Rangers, talking Jazz. Jazz, I just want to know, what's been going on with you lately, my friend?
Oh, man. This year has been very, very blissful. I've been auditioning a lot for amazing projects that my agency's been getting me for. Just got done filming a short film called Nid Stand. Should be out in about 2-3 months, either on Amazon Prime or depending on what kind of distribution deals they get in with. Also have a feature film coming out in about May or June-ish area. It got picked up by a fairly big studio. So hopefully I'll be on the lookout for that. And then just been, you know, spending time with family and friends, girlfriend, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. Without giving away too much information, what part of the country are you in?
I am in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Nice. The desert. That,
assuming... How far is that from Vegas?
That's about 7.5 hours.
Okay.
That's you know, Luke's priorities. Wow,
yeah, that's my priority. I mean, I'm going to 311 day coming up with the band 311. So
nice.
That's actually a shorter drive from LA to there than wow.
LA's closer than Vegas than Reno, as it sounds
like. Be
like my uncle and aunt used to live in Reno. They love it.
Yeah, it just snowed here about 2-3 days ago.
So, Jazz, I have a question for you though. So, since you're based in Nevada right now, mm-hmm. how has that is that make it harder or more complex when you are like auditioning, or is it mostly have you just been doing a lot of self tapes anyway because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I feel like due to the pandemic, it's been really great because I can just stay home, audition, even the callbacks I threw, self tape, Zooms, the producer sessions. You can literally book an entire role without seeing the casting in person, which is amazing for a lot of actors, but it also does suck because I do really like being in the room and getting the feedback, feeling the energy, the vibe, and everything. The only thing is, I think the only benefit that self-taping at home is that you're relaxed and you're able to send in a tape that you feel best about. But the negative is you get too much in your head and then not the good take. You're, you know, trying to make it right. And when you're in the room, it is you give it your all and you leave the room. That's what I really, really miss.
Yeah. Plus, you know, like they'll give you an alternate take or maybe they'll give you one like small note. Like I've done some acting in the past, but, mm-hmm. you know, like I can totally see that. Or like even just the charisma of a person also can, you know, bring something into the audition.
Person is third dimensional, you know, when you're on a tape, it's second dimensional. So that I've said that would be the only downfall of self-taping a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, can I ask you a question? It's specific to Beast Morpher, specific to my light just went out. That was weird. Tell you what, I'm going to let Luke ask the next question while I fix my light.
Yeah,
kind of a question we probably have already asked before, but like, how did you kind of, did you grow up watching Power Ranger? I'm sure you've been asked this a billion times, and I know we've probably been asked this a billion times, but did you grow up watching the show, or did you, like, were there certain seasons, especially if you did, that you watched?
So I unfortunately did not grow up watching Power Rangers, but I always knew what and who Power Rangers was. And I remember seeing some clips on Mighty Morphin, but the scene that I really did see, as far as I can remember, was RPM. It was RPM, but yeah, just, I've told a lot of fans this, which they're like, what, you didn't grow up watching? I always, like I said, I always knew what Power Rangers was, but I just myself did not watch Power Rangers.
What kind of shows did you grow up on that kind of like made you a fan of like, you know, media and acting and all that?
Well, the shows that I really grew up on was, if we're talking about like, you know, when I was super young, it would have to be like Drake and Josh, The Boondocks. So just shows like that. But I think the show that really made me want to pursue acting as a career was definitely Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's when I saw Will Smith. And I remember seeing it and I was like, at such a young age, you know, watching it and just thinking to myself, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how much I have to sacrifice or no matter what I have to do. This is where I want to be. I want to be on a series as one of the lead actors. And, you know, about 7-8 years later, that finally happened. That dream finally came into fruition and got Power Rangers.
Now, with that show coming back, I'm sure that's got to be like a dream job for you that if you can book a role on that.
Yeah, it's called Bel-Air. I'm already caught up. I just so every Thursday a new episode drops. So I'm waiting for Thursday. That was actually the character that plays young Will. His name is Jabari, and that was his first big role that he booked. which is so exciting to play such an iconic role on an iconic TV show that everyone knew about, you know, and he's getting to play that. I would love to even, you know, get whatever character I can in that show just so I can relive my dream and my childhood.
Wow.
Austin, what questions do you have?
I wrote him down. Hold on, let me look it up.
It sounds like he actually kind of probably grew up with some of the same interests as you did. Like, you know, I'm not sure how far apart in age you guys are, but, you know, the Drake and Josh and all that stuff. I remember Austin watching a lot of that. And then when the first season came out, I think his mom was in sixth. I was in fourth grade, and then his mom was probably in sixth grade. So Austin was definitely, hopefully, not being thought of back then.
No, I watched tons of Power Rangers. Like, it was ridiculous. I had this blanket. I think I went to bed with it every night for like 10 years. Like, I was like 15 when I finally got rid of it. But
he still has it. He actually has it on right now.
Okay, maybe
he's wrapped up in it.
Oh yeah. So, you know, this is definitely really cool for me to actually talk to somebody who's been on set with that.
Yeah, and it was crazy, man. Our season was the one that we had the original Red Ranger come back. You know, we had Austin St. John come back, and that was crazy because Chip, our executive producer, he would not tell us any spoilers until it was about a week before, so we knew that a crossover episode was coming around. And the one where, like, this is one place where you can always get the tea is always the makeup in the makeup trailer. So they'd always be talking about, like, oh, so, like, someone's coming, like, we got these actors coming. So I found out about Brennan Mejia, about Davi was like a last add-on, and Yoshi. But then when Chip told us, he sat us down at a table read, and he's like, yeah, you guys are also having Austin St. John. Everyone was just like, whoa, like, we are having the original Red Ranger in our season, you know, for him to come and just bless it. So when he did come, he was such a humble dude, such an amazing dude. He is literally everything that you see on Instagram, everything you see on TV. You can literally ask him about anything and he'll answer truthfully.
That's awesome. Yeah. My question is, when you're filming it, like, obviously you're fighting all these, like, monsters and stuff. How's it, like, in the moment? Like, it's got to feel a little ridiculous, I thought.
Coming from the kid in the group. Jeez.
I mean, that'd be cool, but I'm, like, I'm thinking in my head, it's got to seem like one of those awkward moments where you just, like, pretending to shoot something at a guy in a costume.
Exactly. It was at times. I mean, that's where, you know, the imagination comes in from. But it was funny because you would see, like, it was a stunt, the Japanese stunt doubles. The stuntmen that would put on, like, the rubber suits and everything. So we were never actually in those suits and fighting in those suits. So we would be, like, watching it from the side. And it was cool to just see them, like, put it on. And then sometimes they would run and they would trip and they would do fight moves. And I remember my blaster, I had a blue blaster. And, you know, I had to act like it had recoil. That was something because even the trigger didn't even click. It was just plastic. So sometimes it does. Or, like, you're waiting for someone to morph or you're waiting for, like, you know, because we had Blazing Rocks, you wait for them to morph and we just have to freeze there, like, nobody can move until they go, you know, then they turn into, you know, Blazing Roxy. And then so it's at times it was a little like, oh man, I can really, but then I always thought about, like, how was it gonna look at the final cut? And then when you see the final cut, you're like, yeah, she looks pretty good.
Sick.
Did you have another one, Austin?
What's your favorite story, like, talking with your younger fans? Like, I'm sure you do a lot of panels like this or, like, at the Comic Cons.
My favorite story with the fan. There's been a lot. I think I just had the recent one I just had was I was in what is it called? It was Tucson, mm-hmm. Arizona. And I had this one fan named Marissa. So she's been, like, DMing me for, like, the last week since I was announced of coming at Harley and Comics. And she's like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see you. Like, I'm so excited. You know, every day, like, I just made this shirt, like, blah, blah, blah. And then when I did see her, it was like she – because it's the first time she had seen me, and she started crying. And then I think when a fan comes and they're genuinely happy to see you, I think that's what really gets to me. So, you know, I gave her a hug. We made a couple of videos, made sure she left home with some presents. And, you know, that's my biggest thing is leaving a fan really happy.
That's and awesome.
It's a different experience. It's not the same thing that I say to you that I'm going to say to this fan, that I'm going to say to this fan. You know, everyone is very exclusive and everyone gets a personalized experience.
Now, really have cool. you ever been like super starstruck, or is there anybody out there you think you almost got to get like, oh my gosh, I'm around this person right now. Fresh Prince, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I did a commercial with Kevin Hart back in 2017.
Very cool.
And, you know, because they didn't really say that he was going to be on set. So when they flew me out to Moab, I was there and they're like, yeah, Kevin Hart's almost here, you know, like, and then I saw his RV pull up, he gets out. And I thought I was going to be a lot more starstruck, but I looked at it more as like, this is very achievable to get to that level. If that makes sense. I'm like, this is very achievable. But let's say if I did see Will Smith, that's when I'm pretty sure I would lose it.
I think I would lose it.
Yeah, because that's one dude that I've always looked up to when it came to this career. And as a person, he has such useful advice just to give to the young minds and, you know, to everyone that's willing to go into this career or any path that they want to follow in their life.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you were more impressed with Will Smith than Kevin Hart because you're probably so much taller than Kevin Hart, I'm sure.
Because he had his body double, too. He was 5'3", 5'4", so he came to, like, right here. So when we were filming with Kevin, Kevin was about right here. But he has so much charisma that, you know, he looks like he's 6 foot just with how he carries himself.
Yeah. Wow. The one thing that I really admired and I really got kind of picked up when I saw you and you were talking to Jacqueline and you were talking to Abraham, you guys really seem to have a bond. Could you talk a little bit about like the bond that you guys formed on set and kind of where is that today?
So, you know, as far as I think everyone kind of knows, we were just literally 8 strangers that picked up our life from the US and moved to New Zealand and had to force the bond with each other because we were all we've had. But with our cast, it was immediate. It was about a week into it. We were all like, let's go out to eat here. Let's go out to this club. Let's go do this. Let's go to do this. And then even coming back, because a lot of people, like when they film, they're super tight knit. And then they come back from filming and then everyone kind of goes their separate ways. But it's been very different with our cast. We all still keep in touch. Every time we're at conventions, we're all very, very like, oh my God, how's everything been? So that's the thing. If we go about like 3-4 months without seeing each other, when we do see each other, it's as if like we've never left. So we have a lot of memories. You know, recently it's been me, Rory, and Abraham. We've been getting super close, you know, doing these conventions.
Yeah.
Just FaceTiming one another, you know, just FaceTiming, how's your day going? How's this? How's life? So I think that's very hard to find in a cast. And I do really feel like we've been blessed with an amazing cast.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Katie, what questions do you have?
I have a few. Okay. So the first one, Jazz, is what is one thing that you probably miss the most about filming the show?
I think the number one thing that I've missed the most is not auditioning. So when you're on set for X amount of time, you don't get to audition, obviously, because you're filming for so and so many months. And also, I think it was a privilege to be in New Zealand. No one really gets to film in New Zealand. So filming in New Zealand and filming something like Power Rangers was definitely a treat. And the number one thing that I want to do is when hopefully they call us back for crossover episodes is hit up this one spot called Sensational Chicken. Has the best chicken that I've ever tasted in and it was in a convenience store. So that, and I also really, really do miss the crew. Like the crew was literally family to us.
Nice. So the other one is, you know, being the first Indian actor to play a Power Ranger, how much has that meant to you and how much has it meant to be able to be a face for other people and be like, oh, he looks like me? How much does that carry with you? Like, was that, I'm sure it was a big thing for you.
Oh, are you kidding me? This was, I didn't think it was going to be possible. You know, when I did go into it, I was like, oh man, like, you know, I'm like Indian. They never had a full Indian Ranger before. Like, what if this doesn't go my way? Which tends to happen in auditions. Well, this isn't going to go my way. So getting to the final point, and especially hearing from Chip himself that I was the first one to get cast in the series was, and now looking back at it, and even if you search up the first Indian Power Ranger and Power, I pop up. And I think that means a lot to me and it holds a lot of weight in my life just so I can be the proper example, proper role model to people in India and have them see a superhero. Literally, we're like the Power Rangers, literally like Avengers, and seeing a superhero that looks like them, and especially having a toy made after him, I think that tops it all. So it does, and every day I'm very grateful, and I walk every day with gratitude, and I feel very, very blessed to have gotten iconic character and a role like this to portray to all the Indians, to tell them that it's possible to pursue something in Hollywood and have a and make a name for yourself.
Awesome,
yeah,
thank
that,
you.
That's good. Sorry.
No, you're
go ahead, Katie.
Go ahead. Okay, well, I was going to ask one more question because you did mention Avengers and Endgame, and mm-hmm. right now in Hollywood and in the media, we're experiencing a lot of like the next generation of stuff and a lot of nostalgia and a lot of, you know, big huge movies like, you know, No Way Home and Endgame mm-hmm. where they're bringing in all these different universes. Like, would you want to see a massive like multiverses of Power Rangers unite in like one big event?
I feel like if it was done right and it was on a movie, I do really feel like it would do really, really, really well. But they have to bring us back too. No, I think there's been so many Power Rangers, kind of like it's literally like the Avengers. There's been what, like X amount of seasons of Power Rangers, 30 years of Rangers, you know? Like, I think if it was done right and it was done not too cheesy, you know, not too like kid-like, and if it was made for like teenagers and grown-ups, like how Spider-Man's vibe was, I do really feel like it can put Rangers on another map.
Well, haven't they kind of done some of those types of Avengers? Some of the crossover events that they've done, there have been bigger and more robust, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Dino you guys were part of that. You're just talking about when Brennan came over to yours and the original Red Ranger, which is very cool that they do that.
But I would really like to see like a big movie on that, though.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I meant. Yeah. Kind of like a big thing where mm-hmm. people who grew up on Power Rangers, but like the earlier seasons, like Mighty Morphin, and then the new seasons, kind of like, you know, how Ghostbusters and all those things are doing. So it's bringing in all this group and bringing in another, the next chapter, and just, you know, so
I feel like
nostalgia
it would...
films.
Yeah, would you like to battle those like 90s villains and all that? They need to bring the villains in with that.
Exactly. The putties. Yes, we had putties in ours too. So it was cool seeing them.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I love me some putties. Let's go.
All right, cheese then.
Back real quick to the figure thing, like, because early on, like, they didn't, you know, always show like the likeness, and that was kind of, that seems to be more of like a modern thing that they're doing with that. Like, how awesome is that to like go in the store? Do you see your based on the figure, did you go like right away try to find one, or did they just send you a bunch? And
it's such a big flex, you know, to have an action figure so early on in your career, to have made of you and people know it's you, it looks like you. It's such a big flex. And I think because Ranger sent it to us, but you know, sometimes I would just go into Walmart, I would go into Target or go into GameStop and see it and be like, wow, like, these are for sale.
Yeah,
you know, people come in here and they buy these. I had an idea and I was thinking to myself, I was like, maybe I should just go and like sign a couple and be like, hey, like if you guys find them, like this and that. But then obviously a store clerk would be like, hey, that's vandalizing. So I never got to doing that. But hopefully if I see them, I want to do it. And I want to post it on my Instagram and say, let's see who finds this one.
Oh, nice.
Has a figure of himself that his family made for him. Do you have that Dr. Strange version of yourself?
What's that?
Austin there has a figure of himself that his family, his grandparents made for him for Christmas, actually.
Really?
Yeah, show up with Dr. Strange there.
Right here.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of a kind, but not in stores worldwide yet.
That's amazing. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's so dope.
Jim left.
Yeah. So, Austin, do you have another
question? I got to show this. Oh. I got a Funko Pop.
That's still cool.
Oh yeah. All right. Is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, let's show off it. This is wait, let me see if I can zoom in on this.
Yeah, ours are not as cool as the ones Jazz has.
That's
though.
Still cool. You got a pop. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's oh yeah, not as good as the Cheeseman one. Look at that. You got the shades, you got the flannel on, the Converse shoes.
I guess I have to show mine now, right?
Katie, where's yours?
We all got something in common now, Jazz.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, we're pop heads.
That's so cool.
Mine has a wizard's wand and a game controller. So
that's so sick, you guys. Congrats. We're all part of the club now.
Hey, Jazz, can we talk a little bit about the actual, when you were filming, like the process of filming, what was it like? Like how long were the days? How long were the filming seasons? how many pages a day? How intense was it? If you can just kind of walk us through what it was like.
It was fairly intense because our call times were rangely about, they range about from like, I would say like 5 to 6 a.m.
Wow.
We'd get on set, so this was like the rundown of the day. If you get picked up around 5, go to set, which is about 30 minutes. You get there about 5:30, and then you go in your trailer, and then I'd be sleeping in the car, and then you go to your trailer. You're so tired. You're in the trailer, and then they bring you your sides, and then they're like, hey, what do you want to drink? And then you tell them, like, coffee, or you want tea, or whatever. Now, this is how I know I became a caffeine addict, because I was drinking 5, 6 a day. And you get that, and then you go into, you know, hair and makeup. You get that done, and then you're reading your lines. You're going through everything. And then you go into wardrobe. You know, and then the clothes are like super cold too. So like it's cold outside, and you gotta put on these clothes, and you're tired because you're comfy. You came in your hoodie, and then you go out, and then you're like, okay, I gotta wake up. Then you get some breakfast, and about 7:30, you know, they would do a crew call when everyone comes around to do like a safety meeting, and then from there, it is very true when they say like a lot of the industries hurry up and wait because half the time is like them checking the lights or making the camera angles or having stand-ins or doing this. And then we would have we would film from like about 8 to 12, and it was a lot of like sitting down, standing up. Okay, cast, go take a break, which was like really hard. It's like when you finally get your energy up and you do a scene, they're like, all right, we're moving on to this. All right, cast can take 10 minutes off. So you sit in your cast chair and you get tired, you know, because you're sitting down and you're like, then as soon as they're like, all right, cast back on, then you got to bring that energy back up again. That's exactly how you match the energy as you did in the last take. And then we get have lunch, and someone was asleep during lunch. We were just so exhausted. And we would get done around like 7, 8 p.m. So we start about 5, get picked up around 5, start filming around 8, then get done around 8 p.m., come back home for the next day, and then it's just the same thing. So we film from Sunday to Sunday's a Thursday, and then Friday we would have an ADR session, which was about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours, depending on the episode. And Saturday was the day we had off, and Sunday we're back.
Wow. And how many months of the year were you guys filming?
We were there for about, in total, we were in New Zealand for about 10 months, including the pick and everything. We would film 3 episodes in 9 days.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it was so hard because you would be in one day you'd be filming a scene from episode 3 and then filming a scene from episode 6 and then filming a scene from episode 2. So then you're like, okay, like where am I? Like this, okay, I'm like, okay, this is episode this. Okay, boom. And then the director is really helpful. They're like, okay, this is what happened in the story, so bring this in, bring that in. Which really helped us a lot. But sometimes you would be so confused, you'd be like, when did this happen? Like I was just arguing with Roxy, and now, you know, crying over Roxy. Like, but now I'm like, kill Roxy. Like, what? You know, it does get because you're so like mind fogged.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you get in that rhythm, it's just for the first 3 months, I felt like, oh my god, like this. You know, it's like the honeymoon stage. You know, your Power Rangers, like the honeymoon stage. You're like, this is amazing. But then it does really feel like a job. But with that being said, even though it does feel like a job, you're having so much fun doing it because you are literally living your dream.
It's what they say. If you love what you do, then you never work a day of your life, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you have for somebody that might be interested in following your footsteps, becoming a Power Ranger?
I would say discipline.
Yeah.
You really do need to have tough skin and understand that it's never personal when you get that rejection. It is not personal. They have so many different factors that go into it. So even if you do get rejected, it is not personal. Keep going. Keep striving. And it literally is a numbers game. The more you do, the better you're going to get. And also make sure you're getting the proper training. And if you are trying to, you know, become the next Power Ranger, Iris Hampton, she's been casting all of them. She casted my season. And she is literally amazing. And then you can find, I think I saw it today. Someone posted that they're casting for the new season.
Yeah.
You guys saw that too, right? There's
leaked. I saw it.
Yeah, I think. And then just seeing that and all, and not just getting the script and just doing it and then sending it off because you're so excited. Actually take the script, work with an acting coach. If this is your first time acting, work with an acting coach. Make sure you really have the scene down. And then do it. And if, you know, if you have physical abilities and you put that in, worry about that at the end. Don't make that your number one. I had zero martial arts experience. And I ended up getting the role. Rory has zero experience. He had dancing experience. None of us really had any, but we just knew that acting was the one that mattered the most in our season. And then we just, you know, needed to, it's choreography. So we just needed to know how to move. And with that, you know, I met with a local 300, it's called 360 Martial Arts in Reno. I met with him 7 days a week until, you know, my callback. And then he just helped me perfect the routine, which, because all they want to see is that you can make it look natural and make it look good and make it look fluid. And if you can do that, you don't need to do all this fancy. Because a lot of people I saw in the audition were doing way too much fancy stuff, doing blocks, doing backflips with like hooked swords and this and that. And literally everyone that got cast in Beast Morphers had none of that. All of our stuff was very simplistic. And I think that's literally what they go for.
Interesting. Hey, real quick before the next question, let me just say hello to a couple of people that are watching. Nathan, it's always good to see you. Wrecked Diehard, hello to you. One of our favorite people, Jonathan Wilkinson, Con Guy, and he says, hello, you beautiful people. And hello. Somebody in particular, I want to do a call out to Mike Emke. Mike Emke is a friend of the show. Mike had some cool news today. I'm not going to ruin it. But he was inducted. He was a part of a project that got inducted into the Disney archives for all of posterity today, which is a very cool thing. And Mike and Jonathan, tell us your questions, guys. We want to hear what kind of questions you have. Mike, MG, I know you're never short on questions, so please send us one. But I don't want to interrupt. Luke, I know you had a couple more questions that you were interested in asking.
Cool. Yeah. Kind of with what you're talking about, you know, a lot of work goes and discipline goes into what you're doing. So like, what were some of the scenes, like either from a certain episode or multiple episodes, that you felt were kind of like the most challenging, that took kind of the most time to do or to kind of get right, or that, you know, whether acting or stunts?
I think the hardest episode that we all had to film was a musical episode, because it was so hard. We would have to go on our
For Abraham, right? That's just kidding.
Except for, yeah. But like, we would have to go on our, Chip said, executive producer, he said on our off days, we have to go and train with Olivia, who played Dr. K. So she's the one that actually choreographed the whole dance. So that, for me, I'm not a dancer, so that was very hard for me. I would always tell Olivia, I'd just be like, hey, just put me in the back. Like, no one's going to know. But she'd be like, we can't. Like, you're one of the Rangers. So for me, that took the most energy out of me, mentally and physically. And then another one was the scenes that I found very challenging but very grateful was the scenes between me and my mom, Twila, about me coming out and telling her that, you know, this is what I like to do. I like to paint. And it was so hard for my character to admit that to her, because he thought that she was going to disown him, you know, think of him as like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be a ranger. So I think those moments that me and her really appreciated, they were really challenging, because we'd have to go in that place. We would just get done doing something like, oh, hi, it's morphin' time. And then we'd have to go back to the serious moment and be still and be so authentic in that moment. It would get challenging at sometimes, but those are the moments that paid off the most.
I do want to bring Mike's question out. He wants to know, was it difficult to transition your season from the original Japanese episodes?
I actually don't know too much about that.
Well, yeah, do you remember because they did use some of the choreography or some of the action sequences, right? From is it Super Sentai? And they would use it and like weave some of that in. Is that how it works?
Yeah. We had no control over that. We didn't even know anything about that.
Right.
So we would just film whatever was written on our script. And then, you know, the producers, they would be the ones that to fit everything in. But we did really wanted to do the Go Busters dance, though.
wait, what's that?
The Go Busters dance?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I don't know if I did. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, they would like dance at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So you do dance.
Especially Rory and Jackie, because they're the dancers. So they're just like,
yeah.
Oh, we were like, put it in, because it's going to be hard for me. And me and Rory were roommates. So even on the musical, I'd be like, bro, you got to teach me. Like, so he would be in the apartment just like, all right, you got to move like this. Okay, you got to do this now. Make this more fluid. So he helped me out a lot with it, too.
Yeah. Katie, what kind of costuming questions might you have?
I was trying to think if I had costuming questions. I mean, I don't really have very many costuming questions, but I do have some convention-based questions since we, you know, talking about cons and all this different stuff. My question, Jazz, is when you got the role, did anybody tell you, like, hey, so we know you're getting cast, in this spot, and yeah, it's a gig, but the world is so big that you're going to be a Power Ranger forever. Like, it's going to continue on. Did anybody have a conversation like that before you, when you got cast?
Yoshi Sudarso. So I reached out to him and just kind of asked about the whole experience, about how life after Power Rangers is. And he told me, he's like, once you're a Ranger, bro, you're always going to be a Ranger. Like, it's never going to leave you. And then he's like, once you're a Ranger, you also have access to all the Rangers. And you could do convention for the rest of your life. He's like, if you wanted to. And everything becomes a big family. And you're the new, and he always said, he's like, you're the new one coming into this franchise. The fans are already done. They're already there. They already love the show. But you also have to make them fall in love with your season. And that's up to your character to make that happen. But this fandom never ends. It ends up keep multiplying and multiplying.
Cool.
That's cool.
Also, is because obviously there's all these fans for Power Rangers, as you know, the con guy knows from the first WonderCon panel and all this stuff. But what is like the number one thing that when you're meeting fans, like they either want you to say or want you to do? Like, is there a certain pose? Is there a certain line that they want to hear all the time?
Not really. I think what they really want to, what they really come there for is not to get autographs, of course, that too, but to have a genuine experience. And a lot of them, I always ask them one question. I was like, what was your favorite episode and why? And they always tell me like, oh, this was my favorite episode because of this or this and that. And then their number one question is always like, how does it feel? You know, how can I become a Power Ranger? Like, what are the keys to becoming, you know, like what do I have to do? So I'd love every information that I know from me, I always feed that to them. And then always the, you know, the fighting pose that they love to do. And I could tell that they get really nervous and they get very excited. Because instead of a picture, I'm like, let's just do a video. And let's on three, we'll yell, it's morphin' time. Then we'll go right into a pose. And they're super nervous at first. And then always I would let them hold the helmet if I have it with me. They also really appreciate that. And like, so I just want the fans to go there, meet me, and then go home and be like, wow, that was such an amazing experience. And he was so genuine. Because I really am. Every single one of you guys, and meet every single one of you guys, and morphin' time, you guys.
I mean, that's an obvious one. I mean, I'm sure people always want to hear Power Rangers say that.
So, Austin, and I'm going to come to you and to Luke if you guys have any other questions. But I was reading about how towards the end of production, how difficult your final filming your final scene was, mm-hmm. and you had to kind of like deliver. Well, you didn't have to, but you addressed the crew and everybody that was around, and you know, it was kind of like your goodbye. I don't want to break you up. I don't want to get you out, but like I read that it was a really emotional moment for you. Can you talk about what that day was like?
Oh, it was, because for me it was when you're getting near of ending a show about a month before, you're excited. You're like, okay, like, you know, this was a great experience. Now it's on to something, you know, new, something more exciting. But as the days got closer and closer, it would start hitting me more. And it did not hit me until the lunch of the day we were done. So I remember the whole day, everyone's, you know, saying their goodbyes. Everyone that raps first are like, they give their speech. And I'm like, oh, it's like, I don't know why people are so like breaking up about it. Like, it was fun, you know, like now we move on. And then lunch happened, and my scene was the next one. It was the final scene. I had the final scene of the day. And I remember being in the back, and I was, like, thinking to myself, and I was, like, these people that's all here, like, this is the last time I'm going to see them. I'm working on this show. And, you know, we did the final scene. And I remember I kept messing up on purpose just so we would, like, prolong the scene. And then we finally wrapped it up, and it was, like, that's a picture wrap on Jazz. And then everyone's just standing there like, that's it. And that's a wrap for the whole studio, a wrap for Power Ranger Beast Morphers. That's when it hit me. And it hit me like a train wreck. I remember sitting there and I was like, I looked at everyone and, you know, started getting teary-eyed and just told every single one of them how grateful and how special they were to me and what kind of place to hold in my heart. And I remember walking out. I didn't cry there. I remember walking out and I just lost it. I was just like, oh, like, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, it hit me hard. I remember going in the trailer. Going in the wardrobe trailer. I was taking off my costume. And that's where, like, I was breaking down. I was like, this is it. It's the last time I'm going to put on this suit. It's the last time this is going to happen. It really tore me up. But what really made me feel good was that I still have access to most of the crew members in New Zealand. And we talk, catch up, you know, how everything is. But, yeah, it was really bad for a minute. I remember flying back. That was really bad, too.
Yeah. So do you think it'll make it even more special if they do kind of like bring you back for kind of a cameo in maybe one of the newer seasons?
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Just to see their faces, just to talk to them. How's everything been these past, what, 4 or 5 years? How were you guys in COVID? Like everything. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. They need to. They need to bring back the Beast Morphers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they have a movie that they're preparing, right? A feature film, from what I understand.
That's what I saw on like Variety magazine on Deadline too, that they're making a big budget feature for Power Rangers. But there's been no more talk about it, so I'm pretty sure it's still in development. But yeah, like it needs it. Power Ranger needs that reboot again.
Yeah, I wonder if it kind of I wonder if the momentum slowed down because of, you know, everything being closed these past couple of years. And
because
I think that might have slowed down because New Zealand itself was completely one of the places completely locked down this past couple of years. So there wasn't a lot of production going on there. So it looks like things are starting to open back up. So maybe something will come up. Hey, well, let me ask you this. From the other seasons, have you made friends with any of the actors from other seasons that you kind of like to pal around with at all, or that you keep in contact with?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, the main ones that I keep in contact with is like Roger Velasco, super, super cool. Christopher Kamen Lee, Justin Nimmo, you got Brandon Mejia, you got Yoshi, you got Peter. And then from the newer cast, Hunter, super dope. Hunter, and then Kai, you got Chance, I mean. And congratulations to Chance. So he just got engaged too, which is crazy. And
congratulations.
And Russell, yeah. So it's been, like I said, like once you're in the Rangers fandom, like once you're a Ranger, you have access to all the Rangers. And, you know, some Rangers you just get super close to. And some of them, they're just, you know, part of the Ranger family.
That's cool.
Nice.
So what we're going to do is, because we are kind of coming close to the end of the show, we're not quite there, but we're approaching it. I see the signpost coming. I'm going to let Jazz take just a break there. Katie has a little tiny bit, a couple of announcements about conventions, especially one that we are excited about. So Luke and Austin, if you guys can be thinking kind of like what your final questions might be of the night.
All right. Yeah, so today, with absolutely zero notice, WonderCon registration happened. Literally, I went on Twitter, and adjacent Twitter account of the Con Guy is the Comic-Con, it's the Comic-Con blog. Not Comic-Con blog. What is it, Jim? The other Comic-Con?
It's the unofficial blog.
Oh yeah,
the San Diego Comic-Con unofficial blog.
Yeah, they posted a tweet about a screen capture of the registration page, and I texted all the guys and I was like, I didn't get an email even. Like, I didn't even get an email about this. And then literally right after that, they sent out the emails, but the emails went out after it already went live on the site. They didn't let anybody log into their member ID before they did the process, which caused a bunch of issues. And they did the waiting room like they normally do for Comic-Con, but it was just such a mess. So many people were having trouble getting in their badges, which is kind of normal, but considering that it's been 2 years since they had a con, I think people expected it to be a little bit better planned, because they've had so long to get this working. They changed over their member ID portal. Every single professional and press person was like, what is happening? Because there's been no announcements about, you know, what are we going to do about professional status? You know, people are reaching out to Comic-Con being like, mine says it was due, but after Comic-Con 2019 and when 2020 got canceled, you guys said our professional status would get rolled over to the next convention. And right now, it doesn't seem like that's the case. So there's just a lot of speculation and like wondering, like, are pro badges going to be a thing at WonderCon, considering it's a month out and we have heard absolutely nothing? It's telling every single professional that their status is due. And normally the reapplication process for professionals is normally in like October. So it's like, are we going to even have time? So there's just a lot of little things that people are talking about. Hopefully we get more information soon. Obviously we will tweet it out if we get more, but it was a little bit hectic, a little chaotic via the Twitterverse today when I was looking at it. They haven't announced
a lot of-
Can I just
jump in for a second? I think from what I understand that, like you said, quite a few people were a little bit a little aggravated. It seemed like there was some confusion and whatnot and everything wasn't working. But I think part of that might be attributed to the fact that there's a brand new member ID site that they just rolled out this past week. Everybody needs to go on and redo their brand new member ID password and get your credentials in there. So I think part of that might have to do with that. Well, the rest of the Katie, we will be on top of it. Like Katie said, we'll find out.
And I mean, we're probably about a week, two weeks out from getting a schedule. Usually the panels come out 2 weeks before.
It's this year. It's going to be 3 weeks this year.
3 weeks before. So
which
next week.
Which is why we have to wait until the panel list comes out before we can give times for our panel.
So, you know, we're still waiting on that, but there's just a lot of things that everybody's like wanting to make plans, but it's kind of hard because they're being really a lot of slack about it. So I think a lot of people are just kind of like, I think it might be swaying some people around, do I want to go to this? Because it seems a little bit disorganized. So hopefully it gets better. Hopefully we get more information soon. But we have no other information about San Diego Comic-Con yet, other than that it's happening. That's that.
Well, the hotel sale is going on too. I don't know if they're sold out yet. I know that the Hilton usually sells out fairly quickly. I've heard that the demand for WonderCon is pretty quick this year. The badges won't sell out this week. That's not going to happen. But WonderCon will probably sell out this year because the pent up demand, the mask and vax, the pandemic restrictions have been relaxed in California. As of today, the entire West Coast had restrictions relaxed. It was Washington State, Oregon, and California. There's still some, you know, local jurisdictions. I know that LA is a little bit stricter, but I know that Anaheim is a little bit more open right now. Yeah. So we're expecting to have us a really good WonderCon. And I hope everybody is coming to WonderCon because we're going to have the most amazing panel. Jazz is going to be part of that panel. Some of his friends, a couple of the people, there's a couple of people that he's talked about tonight on the show that will be part of the panel. Again, we can't make that an announcement just yet, but we are excited about that. It's going to be happening April 1 through 3 down in Anaheim, California. So if you need information about the hotel sales, just go to theconguy.com or go over to CCCI website because they're using OnPeak. And I know that I've got a room right now. We have some people, our people that from out of town are reserving their flights to come in. So the fact that it dropped today, I expect to hear from Thomas Parham very quickly. He's been holding the flight. He's been like, when's it going to happen? I'm like, I don't know, but it's coming. We kind of thought it was going to happen this week, but I'm glad it did. Katie, do you have anything else about WonderCon?
Not really. I'd say just stay posted to the Con Guy because we will be posting. I retweet all the time. The Con Guy retweets all the time. Just stay tuned, especially because, we did talk about the mandates changing, but they could change again in 2 weeks. They could change again right before the convention. So if those things change, make sure you check those tabs on the websites for any cons you're going to, just so you're up to date and you're not surprised. Anything policies with weapon, prop checking, make sure you're very familiar with all those policies because you don't want to be waiting to check a prop and then find out you can't get it in. You don't want to be doing something or have something or say you're vaccinated and then they require vaccines. You don't want to not have your car. Just stay up to date. Like we'll keep you as posted as we can, but always check those fine print and everything like that. And knowledge you can have going into a con, the better.
100%. And I think Katie's right. Like, and especially this year, and we do have to kind of end here, but it's important to be paying attention to the health guidelines of wherever your convention is happening. I know that from what I understand, I think that the guidelines for this con will be similar to they were for Comic-Con Special Edition back in November. That it's either vaccination or proof of a negative test will be required. Mm-hmm. But it was fairly simple to get the negative test if you didn't have your card with you or if you weren't vaccinated. They had tents set up all over the front of the convention center. So, all right, I don't want to dwell too much in that. We will give information about that out. Thank you so much, Katie, for letting us know what's going on with WonderCon. But Again, WonderCon coming up April 1 through 3, 1st through the 3rd. It's going to be fun. We can't wait to see Jazz down there. Jazz will be signing autographs, signing photos. And maybe if you bring a special action figure with his face, he might even sign that. So, all right.
Nice.
Luke and Austin, let's end with some questions from you guys.
Oh, yeah. So you're basically already a superhero, you know, being a Power Ranger and all. Is there any other superheroes you'd want to be? Like,
That's a good question.
That is a very good question. That already, like, exists?
Yeah. Or, like, could exist. Like, you know, comics or something like that.
I would love to play one of the superheroes in Blade. I think that'd be super dope. And I would love to be part of the Avengers somehow. I don't know if there's anything out there like that, but I think being a part of the Avengers would be dope.
Well, this is the time to this, you know, because
I mean,
the new
after
Blade...
Eternals, I think, and Eternals and Shang-Chi and all those, I mean, it's a good time to be,
it's paving a way.
Yeah. So
that's cool. And Blade, like, you know, Blade's in production. Well, it's, I don't know if it's in production yet, it's in pre-production. Yeah, they haven't even hired all the actors yet. So, hey, let's start the hashtag, you know, you know, Jazz for Blade. Let's do it.
Do it.
Right, Luke.
I do have to say, nice shirt, Austin. We got the same shirt for my cousin. Who wore it better? Let's just see. I switched it during the WonderCon thing. But my question is, you know, like, what was kind of like your favorite kind of like just downtime activity you guys did as cast or just hanging out with the people? Did you guys have like a certain restaurant you went to, a certain game you like to play, or a TV show you watched together?
Mm-hmm. I think what me, Rory, and Cosme, we would all do after every time we would get off the set, if we wrapped around the same time, we would all go back to our apartment and play NBA 2K for hours. Hours. And just Uber Eats a lot of food, and we would just be like, let's order this, let's order this, let's order that. And we also did really like the nightlife out there. Nightlife out there was amazing.
And Katie, do you have any last final questions?
Yeah, it's going to be another con one because, like, you know, that's just where my brain is at right now. What is the one thing, aside from obviously meeting the fans, what is your favorite thing about the con experience?
Meeting other celebrities. I was at one at Mountaineer Comic Con, and I met one of my other childhood heroes, which was Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
On Smallville. You know, I was blasting that all over social media. Yeah. I think I'm so excited every time I go into a con and looking at the guest list. I'm like, oh, my God, because I met the voice for Goku. Was for Vegeta, so meeting them was like, oh, you know, like, it was so cool. And it was cool because I would just go up to them and be like, hey, I'm a Power Ranger, like, can I like get a photo? And they'd just be like, yeah, like, come on back, come on. You'd all be in the same green room. So I think it's a really great place to network too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you've done some voiceover as well, right? Like for Madden and all that?
Madden 21. I did the voiceover for the story mode, Face of Franchise. It was me and then two other dudes, so you could pick different voices. I was voice number 3 on it, and you could play the whole story mode, Face of the Franchise, with my voice, which was weird when I heard it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's me. Like, why do I sound like that? You guys hate hearing you guys' voice on camera, like in video?
I hate it.
It was weird when at first, when I would rewatch footage, I'd be like, that's what y'all hear when you hear me?
Yeah.
Like...
You guys have to hear this.
Well, as we wrap up, Jazz, I just have to ask you, 29 years going on 30 of a legacy of a franchise as beloved by millions of people around the world. Just if you can just describe kind of what's your favorite part or what's important for you being part of something so monumental with so many people through like a lot of the fan clubs are called generations from generation to generation. This is something that's been going on for generations. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like to you?
I do feel like I think everyone that's had the pleasure of being a Power Ranger, it's a very big mantle to hold because you automatically become such a role model to a lot of people, to a lot of kids, to a lot of adults. And to carry that with you throughout the rest of your life, it's a lot, but it's also so amazing because you can literally go anywhere and get recognized for the work you've done, especially being in something like Power Rangers. It's going to be on forever. I do not see an end for Power Rangers anytime soon. So being something a part of this is it's amazing.
And with that, Jazz Badawalia, He plays Ravi Shaw, the Blue Ranger in Beast Morphers, and we couldn't be more excited to have him on the show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for watching the show tonight. My name is Jim. You can find me at JimFryLA on Twitter or James D. Fry on Instagram. Follow us at theconguy.com. Cheeseman, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and also on theconguy.com.
Austin.
Yeah, you can find me at the Con Kids, and then I think we have a TikTok now at the Con Kids.
Yeah, I think so. You made it. You just gotta.
Yeah, I gotta learn how to figure out how to.
There's nothing on it.
Do some dance. Do some Con Kids dances. One thing. Jazz will teach you how to dance.
Yeah, I got.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, he's got you.
Katie.
Austin's on his way to be the most successful of the Con Guy crew, just saying.
Yep.
I'm Katie, aka KT_Christine, across all social media, including TikTok and Twitch. I'm trying to get better at getting back to Twitch streaming, so you can find me late night streaming and yelling at you know, the game, because, you know, who doesn't when they're gaming? And also over at the Con Girls, I believe we're going to be having a show next month. We got to work out the logistics. We're going to finally do our, hopefully, serial killer central episode where we talk about why women are so fascinated by true crime. So hopefully we'll get that one out for you guys within the next month or so. I know we're really excited about it. And yeah, hopefully at WonderCon.
Yep. And also, we want to always thank that hashtag show. I'm drinking out of their water bottle tonight. They are our video partners. And thank you so much to those folks over there. As we close, Jazz, where can people find out about you, follow you? And if you want to like promote any appearances or anything that's coming up for you.
Yes. So you guys can always find me on Instagram at Jazz Bedwalia. Also do TikTok at J Bedwalia. And I will be at WonderCon. I have a couple more signings that have not been official yet. I will announce them on my Instagram, but WonderCon for sure. And yeah, just stay updated with my latest projects, acting related. Everything's on my Instagram. If you just go on Instagram or IMDb Pro, IMDb, you'll be able to stay up with my latest news.
All right. And with that, everybody, good night. We will see you at WonderCon. Bye-bye.
Boom.
Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.